I want Angie to come and share. Last week we shared. You guys good? You good? I do want to get this. Yeah. We shared about being a prophetic community and hearing the Holy Spirit, and which is interesting. Angie was actually in Seattle during that time. Marcus was here, but this week after We Wednesday, Angie had a specific and powerful dream that is much like multiple dreams that we're starting to get from people, and it's got quite a bit of clarity to it. So I want you to listen to this. This may be a little unusual for you. I don't know if you've ever been in a service like this and heard someone tell about a dream. We don't do it very often, but this is specific enough. I feel like you need to hear this. This is a Holy Spirit kind of dream, not a pizza dream, and you've had both, right? And so, but she's had a pretty strong deal, and I want you to please hear this, and then we'll make a couple points from that. Go ahead, Angie.
Upon falling asleep after We Wednesday, I experienced the following dream. Marcus and I were walking into the movie theater. Everyone around us was excited about this new movie experience. It was supposed to be like something no one has ever experienced. We took our seats and relaxed before the movie began. I remember these weird noises, almost like a different language, was being spoken from the actors. In the next second, or so it seemed, I was fighting to wake myself up. My head was pounding, and my vision was rolling. It was extremely difficult for me to see and to get myself to wake up and know what was going on. Upon trying to wake up, I noticed that the other hundreds of people that we were in the theater with were all passed out or asleep. Marcus was next to me and was passed out. My first instinct was to try to shake him. In that moment, a man started walking my way. He was not part of the audience watching the movie. He seemed concerned that I was awake, but was trying to hide it with a smile. I shook and shook Marcus to try and wake him up. At that moment, the guy stepped up to me. He was almost angelic-looking guy, blonde hair, blue eyes, extremely good-looking, like the model perfect look, and stuck his hand out to me as if asking me to take it, and said, "Let me help you." I was instantly covered with goosebumps, and my spirit was checked. I took a step back while pulling my hand back and started shaking, Marcus even harder. I was instantly panicked and was desperately trying to wake him up. The guy's smile fell and we were instantly in my bedroom. I was in bed and Marcus was asleep in the bed next to me. The guy was now in his true form and was pacing back and forth beside my bed, speaking in the same language from the movie. Instantly, I was covered in goosebumps and was terrified. I was still desperately trying to shake Marcus and say, "Jesus and Marcus, help." I thought I was moving, and then the form showed me that he was preventing me from saying or moving, and I was now watching myself from the top of the room. The whole time, I kept saying Jesus in the name of Jesus over and over in my mind. However, I was trapped in my body. It was as if he was trying to make me think that he could take away my two protectors. I did not buy it, and I kept thrashing back and forth and screaming in my mind in the name of Jesus Christ. He was shocked by my fighting him, even though I couldn't move or speak. In the next breath, he was gone, and I was finally able to move and touch Marcus.
That's the dream. Now tell me what happens. You wake up, and then what did you guys?
I've had stuff like this before, but this one really affected me. And so I woke up, and poor Marcus was like, "I had to go to the bathroom," and I'm like, "I'm coming with you," because I was so scared. And so I followed him through the house, and we came back to bed, and then he had to pray over me for quite a while before I was able to.
About 2 in the morning-ish?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great, okay. Pretty powerful experience. Have you seen her do that before?
Yeah, this has happened before, spaced out.
Yeah.
6 months to a year or so.
Okay.
But yeah, it was crazy. She had to follow me to the bathroom because she never gets out of bed,
Wow. And you were sleeping at the prayer meeting and sleeping in this dream. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, so why we share that is because this is clear in its essence. When we interpret dreams, and I want to take this kind of corporate moment to equip you about this, you got to discern, is that a pizza dream? And what we mean by that is a flesh dream. It's the conglomeration of your day and, you know, things that happened in your past. And you know the difference. And you wake up and whatever and, you know, you're wore out by it. Or you wake up and there's something in your spirit that's real strong. This is obvious because she's crying out the name Jesus. She's going through it. The basic facts were, again, just so you remember, they go to a movie with a promising new entertainment. As they're in there, she notices and starts hearing the voices. It's in a different language from the actors. And notices everybody, hundreds of people, are totally asleep. They're not being entertained. They're totally asleep. And even Marcus is asleep. And she's starting to feel fear and anxiety about this and starting to shake Marcus. Then this guy coming up looking good, 2 Corinthians 11 says, the devil appears even as an angel of light sometimes, comes up and is startled that she's still awake. Glad everyone's asleep, but startled and it's not good, and offers help to her. She then again turns away, feels that gut check, and all the meaning, all, you know how dreams are. Immediately the scene is in the bedroom. The guy's in a different shape, not the good looking, but the vile, the whatever, the evil person, and is pacing back and forth while they're in their bedroom, and she's struggling and trying to say Marcus and wake him up and trying to, and saying the name of Jesus Christ and rebuking. Wild stuff. Intense. Finally wakes up. Very clear what this is talking about. I think it wouldn't take a high IQ spiritually to interpret what's going on here, but help me a little bit. The main thing that's happening in this dream is what? Everyone's asleep, okay? They're asleep in this deal. Marcus is asleep. I think she was having to struggle through not going to sleep herself. That's the main overriding thing that's going on, is sleepiness and nodding off. It's coming through the means of an enemy, through the medium of media. That was what was happening, clearly. Media was going on. It was a movie. There was newness to it. We're getting new stuff every month, it seems like. And it had dulled these hundreds of people, lulled them to sleep. And they weren't alive and vibrant and watching this thing. They had gone to sleep. This is what the enemy's trying to do. It is clear from this dream that it is a warning to us as the body of Christ and to people around that we need to be alert and careful in these days about the enemy's mission to try to lull the body of Christ to sleep. This is a biblical principle. This is what's happening in multiple places in the scripture, and specifically, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. A quote from the Old Testament. This is the call of the core of what Paul's saying to the Ephesian believers. Don't go into the darkness. Stay in the light. Because here's what can happen. You can be lulled to sleep. So awake, O sleeper. Arise from the dead. I got text that Levi shifted his Sunday school sermon twice and talked about this very subject. He did not know about Angie's dream. Jonathan had picked the song Arise from the Dead. He sang it, I think, at the beginning, the end, again, on purpose because the Holy Spirit put this song on his heart. I think he said Friday, I'm not sure when, but he picked it separately, and it was about arise from, Jesus is arisen from the dead, awake, awake, arise. That was in his heart. Angie has the dream about these people being lulled to sleep, hundreds of them. I asked, is it just the young generation? She said, oh no, it was multiple ages that were being lulled to sleep and were in that drowsiness during that time. You know this, and I think it's obvious and it's intuitive, that the enemy is trying to lull us to sleep by us savoring the stuff that's in the world. The media is the primary means, whether that's music, movies, TV, or it's games that's exploding, the internet in and of itself, news, man, media, it could just be you're a news junkie, and you're just feeding on that stuff so much that all of a sudden it's captured your heart and you've nodded off and you've lost that spiritual zeal, that spiritual edge for staying focused in prayer and listening to the Holy Spirit. I think everyone in this room would probably say they either are in that season or have had that season. And what we hear from this is that the Lord, in his love, is reaching out to a people and alerting them to be careful, to awake, awake, and to be careful with stuff that seems good even. Listen, I think everyone in this room would probably know, let's not attend the slasher movie where they're dropping F-bombs over and over and there's sexual stuff going on. I think there's some stuff that's just obvious to us. Don't hit the R, don't hit the NC, whatever, okay? And I'm not trying to put laws or rules on you, but that's obvious. But I think there's a lot of good stuff out there. This guy appeared good. There's a bunch of good things that seem harmless that that are actually have a devious mission in them. Not just to give you assaulting darkness, which is there in some of the stuff, but some of it's the good, the dangling carrot. It's the really a big gallon of NyQuil, really for you to drink again so that you get kind of drowsy and you get tired and you lose your alertness in the spirit. And I tell you that the medium of media is one of the primary means for this to happen. The Lord is wanting us to awaken. Now listen, I know that you may not need a movie just to go to sleep spiritually. Many of us struggle with this issue. And again, that's what this is talking about. Paul's calling for a revival among people. And I don't know if you've noticed the ability. I nod off in movies a little bit more now that I'm in my 40s. I remember hanging out with the Crewells and seeing Mike in his 30s and maybe late. Anyway, he was doing it then. It was just bad. But, you know, but I'm noticing I'm doing it more. I can't stay awake for a whole movie. I'm just like, I'm asleep. I'm gone. And I was like, what a living metaphor, a living, you know what I mean, a kind of illustration of what happens to us when we set our focus on something and we take it in and we take it in. And then it's not like we go do something evil, but our soul and our spirit gets dull. It gets dull inside us, and we lose that vibrancy for the Word of God. I want to repeat something to you, and I'm shifting the sermon again, Dina. Here we go. But last week I said to you this phrase, and I believe it with all my heart. I'm not here to give you the Word of God. If you're waiting 7 days to get the Word of God from somebody on a Sunday morning, that's trouble. Or if you're waiting till Monday, you know, you're listening, the radio is your means of getting the Word of God. That's okay. There's words there. That's awesome. But listen, I want to tell you, my main mission is not to give you the Word, but to train you to hear the Word. You're a royal priesthood. You don't have to wait for a prophet to go on a mountain or to go to seminary to come back and tell you what God's saying. You all get to hear the Holy Spirit. And actually hearing Him is what makes your spirit alive. Fresh word from Him, fresh leading, fresh conviction, fresh receiving of His love, whatever it may be. Being a prophetic and spiritual person means being awake and alive. The problem is that we're falling asleep all the time. We get bored at our jobs. We get bored with our families. We get bored and we start gorging on food or on media of all kinds, and we lose that vibrancy in our life. And something you need to know is that's not just, oh, shucks, you messing up. That's a devious plan from the enemy. The enemy is trying to woo you to sleep because, listen, I believe the church is the sleeping giant. We're the greatest hope for the city. You're the greatest hope for your family. Men of God in this room, I hope you get principles from the Word of God of what to do right, but good luck trying to do what's right when you're dead spiritually. When you're not alive and revived and you've got a prayer life and Jesus is alive to you, I tell you, that's what motivates you to go after the heart of your wife, to lead your wife, to go after the heart of your children. It's when you're revived inside and you're like, I got something and my wife has got to have this. My children have got to have it. Now, you could write down a goal and put it on your refrigerator and you could put it in your diary and all these goals of what you're going to do, but you know the deal. If you're not alive, you're just going to turn around a month later and go, oh, shucks, I didn't do it again. Oh, shucks, I didn't do it again, because you keep going to sleep. It's only awake people who do living things. Sleeping people don't do that. And so today, I feel like that what the Lord's doing is trying to give us a shot of caffeine through music, through the Word of God, through dreams. He's speaking to us, new life. And Jesus said to him who has ears, let him hear. Are you awake? Can you even hear me this morning? Do you hear the Holy Spirit knocking on the door and trying to woo your heart? Are you aware of the level of slumber and sleepiness that keeps creeping up on you? Listen, it is not the will of God that you live sleepy spiritually. It's not the will of God that you're constantly having to 2 months later, 3 months later, what, you'll hear a sermon, you do a deal, ah, dang it, I did it again. Ah, there went a bunch of weeks. It's not the will of God for that. You're a son and a daughter of the living God. And He is wanting you to be alive on a regular basis. I don't mean perfect. I don't mean perfection. That you don't mess up. We're weak people who have to struggle with things. But I'm saying in the midst of your weakness, in the midst of your imperfection, listen, in the midst of your attitudes and the things that you have, which you do, you know you do, people irritate you, people are around you and they bug you. The issue is a sleepy person lets that stimulus lead them down carnal paths. An awake person begins to draw on the Holy Spirit and overcome in the midst of those situations. It's hard to resist the seducing, lustful spirit of this age when you're sleepy. It's hard to resist the gluttonous spirit of this age when you're just kind of, and you're wandering around, drunk on the world, sleepy because you've lost that vibrancy. You see, your job isn't to produce life, to produce even, I believe, character. I think it's the Holy Spirit who produces the character. Your job is to stay awake. Stay awake. The Garden of Gethsemane, you remember, Paul, Jesus is at the height of the crisis. Come pray with me. He's praying and sweating blood, and he comes back, and they're asleep in one gospel multiple times. I mean, I can't imagine. You know, the drama is building. I get it. They were clueless, but it was because they had sleepy hearts. And so he says, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? I don't think Jesus was depending on the boys to get the freedom for all mankind done. He's not looking to you and I to get the great gospel mission done. He'll do it through us if we'll stay awake, if we'll be responsive, if we'll have a vibrancy, if we'll be alert and we'll listen and we'll obey every leading that he gives. And by the way, being awake is so much better than being asleep. But we let ourselves nod off. Busyness at work, it's not just media. Busyness, overwhelming demands upon us, relational strife and junk, our own failure. Click, 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 click. I'm snoring, not yet. Awake, O sleepers. Awake today. Hear the word of the Lord. He's sounding the trumpet. He's trying to get our attention to wake up. He's not calling you to be a charismatic and evangelical. He's not calling you to be a church attender or a radio listener or a TV watcher of preachers. That's not what his call is. His call is for you to wake up and for you to recognize Jesus, the living God. You get to be with the Lord. You get to hear Jesus yourself. You get to read the Bible. You don't have to. It's the best book on the planet, and only sleepy people get bored with it. That's the deal. When you're sleepy, you don't get the vibrancy of the fire and the freshness. This is just the most exciting book on the planet. And the reason that you get bored with it isn't because it's boring. It's because you've got yourself in a boring condition. You're dull, and you can't pick up on what's happening there. I'm saying this because I love you. And what I'm asking you to do, many people go, well, I got to read more of the boring Bible. I got to do more boring prayer. You know, I got to do more boring church. I'm like, no, stop it. What you got to do is wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Let the Holy Spirit awaken you. And it's a moment of repentance that does it. It's your confession. I get sleepy. I'd rather watch a movie, Jesus, than spend time with you. He already knows it. He just wants you to know that you know it. Everybody with me? He already knows that you like this other stuff better. He's just waiting for you to confess it. He's not mad at you. He loves you. When you say, I like sensuality better than I like you, Jesus, that's a powerful confession. And Jesus is waiting on you to say it, men. He wants you to say, I like sex more than I like you. Would you help me? Because in my spirit, I know it's wrong. Change my appetite. He's not asking you to change your appetite. He's asking you to bring your appetites before him, and he'll change your appetites. He's the transformer of the human heart, not your efforts. Stop efforting. And you families that are into righteousness, you got to get wisdom. The only thing that changes your children's heart is the Holy Spirit. That's it. Best you do is set them up to be vulnerable to the work of the Holy Spirit. Because you might not make a spiritual disciple, you might make a Pharisee that's dead and illiterate to the things of the Holy Spirit of God. We don't want that. We don't want that. We want a people who know how to eat of the tree of life, take the life of the Spirit in, make the word alive to them, and then contagiously go out and spread it to multiple other people. Does that make sense? Awake. Awake, O sleeping giant. Awake, O sleeping bride. Your lover longs to embrace you. Awake. Awake, O warrior, awake, your weapons lay low, and the only hope for our city and the liberty of our city is you and I using the weapons of God. Awake, O gift carriers, awake, O fire carriers, awake, O temple of the Holy Spirit. This city's languishing for the presence of God, and he's in one place, the believer's hearts. But if he's trapped up in a snoring bride who's indifferent to the condition of what's going on in the city, there is no outbreak of the presence. I tell you, guilt's not going to get you to do evangelism. You being awake is what opens you up to evangelism. Evangelism's awesome. It's awesome to tell people the best news on the planet. It's awesome to say, there's a flood coming. There's a flood coming. And I'm so excited. I found the ark. It's Jesus. That's spontaneous and contagious, and you're excited about the liberty that goes on. Not the, here's my track, I gotta do this, will you be saved? I gotta do it, because if I, good Christians do it, but I don't want to, and I'm embarrassed, and I don't want to bother you. Leave it alone, don't do it. Don't do your Bible. I gotta read my Bible today. I'm just telling you. I mean, do God better than that. The issue isn't getting revived about the Bible, and about prayer, and about church attendance. It's your heart being alive, your heart being awake. We've been sucking down so much worldly NyQuil. We're so drowsy. We can't catch the wind of the Spirit. We're so stubborn. You know, we've been in it so long. We're so offended. We're so under so much trial. And the Holy Spirit, I tell you, he's wooing and wooing, coming with all kinds of cups of coffee to help you sober up. And we just won't take it. We just won't take it. And I'm telling you today, he's coming after you because he loves you. He's not mad at you that you've been asleep for a month or a year or years. He loves you enough to shake you and say, awaken, my bride. I love you. It gives my heart pleasure when you're with me. I want you to get good, but I want some good. Listen, it makes the heart of Jesus happy when we're awake, when we smile in our weakness, when we confess and say, I like this better than you, but it's wrong and I don't want it because I'm getting hangovers. You know what I mean? A Holy Spirit buzz is way better than a liquor buzz. And everybody knows that, right? You don't wake up the next morning guilty and with a headache. With a Holy Spirit buzz, you want more and you got life and you got joy. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? It ain't about not getting high. It's about getting high on the right thing. It's not about not consuming. Consume, O believers. Consume, O eaters. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalms 34, verse 8. Go and you be a glutton. You be a glutton. You eat. Oh, Jesus, you can eat. And eat all the word you can eat. It's the best stuff on the planet, and you'll never get full. Never get full. Why don't you decide to give up a meal or two? We choose fasting. The reason we fast, fast doesn't make me any better. I hate going without food. Everybody, I just hate fasting. I just hate it, my flesh, hate it. I don't like hunger pains, don't like it. But you know what? Fasting is a pleasant pain that gets my heart in a position by putting my body down that awakens my spirit again. It gets me out of the dullness of the Taco Bell pushes through my body, which, by the way, right now I'd like to have some Taco Bell. But anyway, I get that, and I'm bloated, and I will sit down in my chair and flick on some sports, and then I wake up, and it's an hour later, and I'm so hungry, you know, got to have a snack. The reason we fast is because we have dominance over our bodies, and we can make our bodies settle down. Settle down, O consumer. We're going to make ourselves alive to Jesus. The reason I read my Bible, you know, I don't always want to go read it, but when I get there and my heart's open, I begin to hear the word of God, and it produces faith inside me. It's a powerful thing. It's better to be alive. It's better to be alive. It's better to be awake. It's way better to be awake. Oh, sleepers, listen to me. Oh, drowsy ones, listen to me. Can you hear the voice of the beloved? Can you hear the voice of the beloved this morning through a passionate, crazy man up here? Through the dream of a sister, through the scriptures, can you hear the voice of the beloved saying, awake, O sleeper. Awake, O sleeper, come away with me. I want you to fulfill your destiny, and I want the satisfaction of my heart of being with you. I prophesy to you this day. You think the NyQuil has been available for the years you've been on the planet? There's way more coming, and it's even going to be force-fed on people, putting people to sleep over and over. If we do not awaken now, there's no way we will stay awake in the last days. If you are failing now with this pleasure land called America, I'm telling you, you're not going to be able to stay awake when the trial hits and the seduction comes and they're promising you everything. That Antichrist, that lying snake that will bring peace, he'll say, peace, peace, provision, just come and give yourself to this thing. And I'm telling you, by the hordes, multiple people go, yes, because their main goal was getting food, protection, and comfort. If that's your main goal, you will sleep through the age and have a shocking day on the great day of the Lord. But right now we can awaken. We can awaken. We can respond to the voice of the Lord. We can begin to confess and repent and say, Lord, I've been sleepy, and you're so good to come. Awaken me. I hope that everyone will make that your prayer. Pray it for you. Pray it for us. For God's sake, I'm begging you, pray it for me. I'm in the middle of the ministry and I can go to sleep. I can go to sleep just like that. But let us pray for one another that we are awakened so that we might agree with him. Awake, O sleeper, that the Lord may shine his face upon you. Let's all stand. Jonathan, come on up. I want to just say something to you, because I feel like people are deceived by this. You know why unbelievers are not getting saved that keep being exposed to the gospel? They're sleepy. Just what if it's not true? What if they're just languishing in thoughts and stubbornness? And Jesus loves them, but they're just sleepy. All I'm saying is awaken and receive the gospel today. It's wonderful. You know it is. The Spirit's drawing you. Believers, he's not looking for your energy to wake up. He's not. He's looking for your gentle confession. You don't have to be all worked up like me in a blue shirt and moving your arms around like this. What you got to do is just respond to the lovely voice of the bridegroom. He's wooing you. Do you not hear him? He's wooing you and wanting to come. All you got to say is, I'm here. I'm coming. Yes, I want to be awake. You have to do it as loud as Sam, as passionate as Sam. You just got to be authentic in your heart. Your weakness is not a problem. It's actually a help to you if you'll finally give up. Your surrender or lack thereof is the problem. We need to surrender. Lord, here I am. Do what you do with sleepy people. Wake me up for your glory's sake. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that everyone in this room, in the midst of drowsiness even maybe, would they hear the voice of the Beloved. Would they hear the voice of the Spirit wooing them? Come, come to me. I pray that everyone in here could shake themselves and have an experience of the Holy Spirit making them sober again. Oh, sobriety, sweet sobriety. Take away the drunkenness off of our lives. We have drunk and drunk and drunk of the world. We've nodded off in our bloating, and I'm asking that you would awaken our hearts. If God, if you loved us so much that you died for us when we were enemies, how much more now that we are sleepy sons, will you awaken us and restore the joy of our salvation? Let this be a day of the restoration of the joy of your salvation. Let this be a day where the drowsiness goes off and alertness returns. We love you and we bless you. I'm asking you to do in our hearts what we cannot do in our own hearts. Even now, all across this room, on young and old and middle-aged, Lord, I pray, awaken, awaken, sober up, Lord, your people. We put our hearts before you, and we trust you to revive us.